It is time to head to the Berkshire Edge on air. Of course, the Berkshire Edge on air is theberkshireedge.com, just on the radio, where we pick a few stories of the many, many, many stories that they publish every day at theberkshireedge.com. And we speak with both Marcy and David, and let's welcome them in. Hello.
I have to tell you that I'm going to be leaving the show a little early. I have to take my son up to school.
Again?
You got me.
Again.
You got me every morning. Yes.
Well,
that school's begun again.
Now, do you remember things called truant officers?
Yes.
My grandmother always used to say if we said that we weren't feeling well the night before, she'd say, "Well, I guess I'll have to call the truant officer."
My mother used to say, "Get up. Go to school, you'll feel better." I had perfect attendance year after year, except the one time that she sent me to school with measles, and they sent me home again.
We used to try everything. We used to take lamps and hold them to our foreheads and stuff like that and try to
heat up. Try a lamp holding it to the thermometer.
Well, you couldn't because they had they had control of the thermometer, so you had to try to work.
You had to use
workarounds. All right. Well, let's go to the first story about the conference in Vermont, a different approach to climate change and global warming.
Yeah, we have, this is an interesting one. This is held in Fairleigh, Vermont. And our writer, Victor Feldman, very interesting in he's actually a student at Brandeis. And he went to Fairleigh, Vermont, for a conference that was promoted actually by 350.org, which is an environmental organization, in which they were examining the idea that enriching the soil. This is a guy named Jenny, who a microbiologist, Walter Jenny, who feels that who's discovered that by enriching the soil, it actually is traps carbon, and it helps to mitigate global warming and climate change simply by having enriched soil. How about that?
He calls it the soil carbon sponge.
Right. I thought this was a very kind of innovative idea, and if so, it's kind of a revolutionary idea actually. Victor wrote this very interesting story about, it's a process that Jenny calls, by the way, regenerating the earth.
It's
very interesting. I mean, in a way, it's sort of he's looking for things that are doable.
Yeah, he says that at one point that eliminating the reliance on fossil fuels is actually unfeasible. So you have to find another way to absorb all this carbon. And he thinks he can find it. He's found it. So.
Well, that's certainly... It's certainly
what a radical idea. How about that?
Yeah.
and a solution? What a concept.
Well, he calls it eco-restoration.
Well... Whatever he calls it's great to call it out.
It works. Yeah. This is. Well, I think we need to get rid of fossil fuels too. But, lower our reliance on them. But in any case, this is a very interesting approach.
Well, sooner or later.
And what it's what you do in order to regenerate the soil is that you leave. Instead of leaving fields bare after harvest, what they call regenerative farms grow perennial cover crops to rebuild the soil carbon sponge. And tillage is kept at a minimum because any tillage kills the fungi and other organisms that live near the soil surface. So, and it also calls for rotational grazing of livestock. which actually has many benefits because it allows the animals to compost the soil with their manure and urine and prevents them from overgrazing. So, I mean, these are all things that could possibly be done, you know, without great cost to farmers, and it could be taught, you know, these agricultural principles could be taught all around the world, and they, you know, also the same man, this Jenny, has, is J-E-H-N-E, gave a TED Talk in 2013 about, you know, how to fight desertification and reverse climate change, and he now, you know, he's now heading a global movement. So it's
an interesting idea.
Yeah, I mean, and of course, you know, then we had comments from our readers saying they fear that this can't work.
Or it won't be enough.
It won't, well, yeah. But anyway, I mean, we did have some comments that were very enthusiastic. So, you know, our readers were responding to this. But it is it's an interesting idea.
It's an edgy idea, you might say. It is an edgy idea. But any little idea, if given the chance to see if it works, if it does work, can then go to the next step. That's why when people just say, well, it can't work right off the bat, just, you know, just see what happens. I mean, there's, I mean, it's a theory until it's actually put into use and see what happens. Well, Great Barrington's most famous resident right now, I do believe, is Alan Shartaw, who is the president of WAMC. He also writes a column for you guys.
And he is public radio.
He has written a tribute to Judy Grunberg.
Yes.
Right. Well, I don't know. You may not know Judy Grunberg. She's probably better known in Chatham and Hillsdale and, you know, Columbia County. But she was an amazing woman who, you know, moved up with her husband from New York 40 or 50 years ago, and has been a major community leader in the Berkshires and in Columbia County. And she built PS21, which is a performance space in Chatham. She built it with her own money. I mean, for several years, she decided that all the activities were taking place on the Massachusetts side of the border, and she thought that they needed a performance space on the New York side of the border. And so she bought a piece of property. She was having performances in a tent for about 10 years. And then finally, although when she couldn't raise enough money herself, she paid herself to build a theater. And it's a charming structure that has an indoor theater and an outdoor theater, a covered outdoor theater for the summer. And, you know, when there was no good restaurant in Chatham to keep people in town, she opened a restaurant called the Blue Plate. She opened a thrift shop, not a consignment shop, to help support the nonprofits in Chatham and also PS21 called Rewraps, and then she opened the theater. But she had boundless energy, and she died at the age of 86. And she was also on the board of WAMC, or Northeast Public Radio, which is why Alan knew her so well and wanted to write about her the minute we all heard that she died.
Don't you just love people who take things on their own? There was a guy, John Segala, who owns Segala Sand and Gravel, tried to join and golf at a country club, and they wouldn't let him join or golf because this is a long, long time ago, because he was Italian, okay?
Yeah.
So what did he do? He built his own course, a public course, 18-hole course on land he owned, and he opened up his own golf course. You like people that
well, you know what? I know his son, Johnny Segala, who's an actor, and he's a terrific young man too.
You just like
looking after his dad again.
Who just don't take no for an answer.
Yep.
Right.
All right. Let's go on here because you've got a series of articles examining the economy of the Berkshires and the opportunities for the economy.
Yeah, we have a selectman, Ed Abrams, who's put together a series of articles, and we'll be running them off and on about the Berkshire's economy and how it can grow. And it's he's a very thoughtful guy, and isn't it wonderful to see a public official, elected public official, you know, writing in this way. I think it's really great, and so I look forward to his analysis of what we can do here in the Berkshires to make an economy that grow an economy that is, you know, appropriate for this area.
It's, you know, well, I think what people have to realize is the economy of the South Berkshires isn't only marijuana. I think that's, you know, sometimes it gets a little out of jest, and it's not. It's amazing how important actually the town of Great Barrington is in the economy in all of South County.
Oh, that's true. It's not only is it the, you know, center of with its own courthouse and it's part of, but it is. You know, it generates, yes, it is the economic center of the South County, that's for sure. And it's, but Ed Abrams has a very progressive look at this economy. And of course, yes, I guess we should mention the marijuana economy. Oh my gosh. You know, and the problem with this, with these shops, and, you know, there's a new, a huge growing facility and harvesting facility going in Housatonic with 15 greenhouses, and which people, by the way, in Housatonic are upset about because of it spoils the neighborhood. But the facility is being put in an industrial park, so I guess they don't really have much to say. But just the same, It's generating huge amounts of income for the town. You know, it's likely that, you know, maybe $4 or $5 million will be coming to the town this year in income from these marijuana shops and facilities. So you might say that I think the concern, what I would wonder is whether the town is going to get addicted to marijuana money.
Well, this is kind of a new, a different Green Deal.
Oh, yeah, very good. Oh, yes, this is the new Green Deal. That's right. True.
We have our own.
All right, let's.
Very good. Very good, Marshall. That's quite clever.
I'm
going to borrow that if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Imitation is the sincerest form of.
Let's go on to the next story, which is a scoring one for small schools.
Yeah, well, this is the wonderful, you know, in the Southern Berkshire Regional School District, which borders Connecticut, they had, of course, in Sheffield, they had the major center of campus for the high school and elementary school. But there were these two outlying schools, little village schools. There was one in Monterey and one in Egremont. And the one in Monterey was closed many years ago, but the one in Egremont has been, citizens of Monterey, of Egremont, were just, South Egremont, were just determined that their school would be remain open, and they have... They got together and they funded a rehabilitation of this little one-room schoolhouse, and lo and behold, it is now opened, reopened, and there are 11 students in there that are in the very early stages of elementary school and kindergarten, and so the South Egremont is celebrating this you know, the retention of its little village school. It's quite a sweet school too, and it's a terrific way, I think, for kids, you know, young kids to learn, to be introduced to the public education in an intimate and friendly setting such as this, you know, and not
very
having
intimate,
to not right. having to go 45 minutes on a bus ride to school and back, but actually to go to their little village school. I think it's a really interesting way to, and probably effective way of introducing kids to education.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because we've had so many conversations about the need to consolidate schools.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this is kind of, you know, an exception and an anachronism because there used to be a lot of these little tiny schools where kids could walk to school and these one-room schoolhouses. Most of them, you know, have disappeared. I mean, there were a few others, and where were they, in Monterey?
Yeah, there was one in Monterey. There was one in New Marlboro.
Right.
Yep.
And they've closed. But somehow this one, right in the center of South Egremont, has managed to keep open. The town and the parents have managed to keep it open. And we were there the day, the first day of school to see all these
kids. It was
kids.
So sweet.
You know, I mean, there's a...
They go in through the picket fence, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, there are about there are 11 of them. They go to school together, and, it's, you know, and they're all local, and they grow up together. It's how long, David, how many years will they be here? I mean,
it's really a one-year...
It's a one-year school.
Yeah, it's a one-year operation, and then they go down to Sheffield to Catamount Elementary School.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. Falls Village still historically keeps and has updated their one-room schoolhouse, the Beebe Schoolhouse.
Yeah.
And it's kind of cool. And I went to Town Hill School when it was in a very small building and only had basically two rooms on each side and then the principal's office in the middle. And I went there before I went to Sharon Center School. So small schools are kind of cool, and you really do get to know your classmates a lot better.
Yeah, right, and they'll be friends for life.
Yep.
You know, they're little kids who start off together.
Yep.
All right, let's go to your prolific artist and writer that is
appearing.
Yeah, Carolyn
Neuberger. She's just irrepressible.
Well, we've spoken about these people before, Eli and Carolyn Neuberger. I mean, they are incredibly talented.
Yeah.
Eli is a retired pediatrician who was also a professor at Harvard, and at the same time, he's a graduate of Juilliard, and he has a jazz band called Eli and the Hot Six. And
right.
Eli plays the tuba, and
yeah.
his wife Carolyn plays
the washboard.
And she is a retired pediatric, I guess, psychologist who...
Listen, you guys, I have to check off right now.
Take
but
off
you will
and
continue.
And take your kids to school.
Yeah. Yes.
Take care, David.
Anyway, Carolyn, and they have done music reviews for us all summer. They've also done Jacob's Pillow reviews. They've done... I mean, these are brilliant reviews, really. They're not your usual reviews. They bring in, first of all, a tremendous wealth of knowledge, but they bring in videos, and Carolyn does original drawings. And the other thing in her spare time is that she has been doing this series for us. I mean, they relocated from Newton, Massachusetts, to their second home in Lenox, which is a really a very modest little house on a pond and surrounded by forest. And so she has started, you know, taking her dog and her drawing materials into the forest and has been exploring the forest over the last 10 months, and, you know, last winter and through the summer. And now she is writing, I mean, what will eventually be a book, but it's chapter by chapter. What she sees in the forest when she and her dog, you know, do their regular forays, it's really fascinating. And she's a good writer. It's very accessible. The articles are not long. They're easy to read. Her drawings are terrific. And she, you know, she's talked about mushrooms, and then she's presented us with recipes for morels. And, you know, and so these are really, they're wonderful stories. As they say, we have Chapter 10 up now, but when you go to the edge, you know, we link back to all of the chapters. So even if you start, you come and read Chapter 10, we give you links to read all the previous nine.
All right. We only have about a minute or two left, and I want to get on because you've got a wrap-up of a lot of different things that are going on.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you think that the end of the summer means the end of things to do, but not in the Berkshires. I mean, we are increasingly becoming a year-round playground. and one thing that, you know, we're featuring is this Old Tone Music Festival, which begins today.
Today it runs.
No, tomorrow.
Tomorrow. And runs through the weekend in Hillsdale.
And runs through the weekend. But they're also, you know, I should say, I mean, you know, we are a terrific place to come to find out what's going on in the Berkshires, in Connecticut, and in New York State, and in the northern part of Berkshire County. We have an incredible online calendar where we invite all organizations to post their events for free, and it's very user friendly. People can sort by date or location or category or venue. And we have, you know, we have about 800 events on our calendar now, but very sortable. So, you know, I want people to know that the Berkshire Edge, really, if you are trying to figure out what you want to do with yourself or what's happening in your community, go to either the Berkshire Edge and click on calendar, or go directly to berkshirescalendar.com, and you will see our terrific calendar.
All right,
and it is a tremendous community resource, and you know, we have we started last year to publish a beautiful glossy magazine, also called BerkshiresCalendar.com, which is an overview of the season and has other interesting things like you know, where to meet up with friends. The current issue has an article on where to meet up with friends. It has a list of all the farmers markets, which all continue on through October. The list, the locations, the hours of operation, and what they specialize in. So, it's. I mean, we really are trying to be a very important resource for the broad community.
All right. Well, once again, we just touch upon some of the stories that you'll find at theberkshireedge.com. It's theberkshireedge.com, and we'll speak to you guys again next week.
Yes. Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Marcy and David from the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com, the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robin Hood Radio.